I'm John Bai. Welcome to In These Hills, my podcast about the town I live in, Cummington, Massachusetts. In this program, I'll be talking with friends, neighbors, and others who live here, about living here. Not long ago, I was surprised and saddened to see division and distrust growing in our community. I realized that I needed to understand more about my town. I decided to do that by learning more about the people who live here. It's an effort to find common ground in a divided time. No soapbox, no speeches, just conversation about living in these hills.
Our eyes fill with reds and golds.
Oh, I'm here this snowy February, late February afternoon with Ernie Strong. Welcome, Ernie. Thank you so much for coming on In These Hills and agreeing to talk with me.
Well, John, it's a pleasure talking to you. It's good to be here in Cummington.
On another snowy day, we were just talking about that the snow piled up at the end of the driveway is now high enough so that we can't see out, so that must be enough snow.
Yes.
We've reached one of those critical markers in a Hilltown winter. What I want to do with this, and I do this with everybody that I talk to, is just to start out with a little bit of background information for folks who might be listening to the podcast and not know you, or maybe they don't even know some of this information, but just to give a quick background. So you were born and raised in Cummington. And
I was born in Northampton. I lived in West Hampton for 2 years, and then we moved to Cummington in 1947.
All right, so you are very, very close to being completely a Cummington native. But
for
the purposes of our conversation, you definitely are. Yep. So that gives you, let's see, you're 75, so that gives you 73 years here in town, right?
I'll be 76. The 24th, so.
Oh, yeah. 24th of this month?
Yes.
All right. It's just around the corner.
Yep.
And you've raised your family. You and your wife, Joan, have raised your family here, your son, Ryan, and your daughter, Sharon. And I know that you are a vet, although I have to say I don't remember what branch of the service you were in.
I was in the U.S. Army.
All right. And I know that you're... most of your working life, anyway, you were a mechanic, I think particularly a truck mechanic, spent many years working with Cummins Diesel down in Westfield, I think it was.
Yep. And then I went to work for Lane Construction for 20 years.
Okay.
I retired out of there back in 2008.
And the other thing I know about you is that, at least from my experience here anyway, is you're the guy. You're the guy who knows how to fix stuff. Any kind of machine, you're the man to go to. And I know that because anytime I've asked anybody about, you know, I got this problem with my tractor or with the Chevelle or whatever it was, who should I talk to? And without fail, they say, talk to Ernie. So one of the things I know about you is that you're very generous with your skill and with your time and your willingness to help out other folks who don't know how to fix stuff.
Well, it's nice to be able to help people out, you know.
Absolutely. So one of the things I want to I want to start out our conversation, because this is really we're together here to talk about Cummington, but really about your Cummington, you know, your experience living here in this town. And one of the things I'm really interested in is that the fact you've got 73 or 4 years living in this town, and I'm really interested in how you think the town has shaped you. In other words, it's like, are there ways in which living here basically your whole life has helped to make you who you are today?
Well, you got to understand, back when I was a young boy, you know, we had a lot of things going on here in Cummington that we don't have today. You know, we had a number of farms all running. We have just one farm left here in Cummington. That's it. We actually had five stores in Cummington.
Is that right?
I had to believe that.
It is. I didn't know that. I didn't know there were five stores.
And we had two stores in West Cummington, two in Cummington, and one in Swiss River. So, you know, you really never had to go out of town. You could get just about anything you needed here in town, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have a hardware store until later, but Lee and Stevens' store was on the bottom of end of Plainfield Road and Main Street. He had dry goods, and then you had a Herbie Mung store there, where the post office is today. That was a grocery store, and you've probably seen pictures of that with the Oney Cummington.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And that was true. When I was a kid, you could still walk in that store just like it is when you see the movie. The only one Cummington. It was just a kind of a neat little place. And you had the houses store down Swiss River. That was always an interesting little spot to stop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The West Cummington, they had Bill Shears' place. That was where, that's where the post office was. And then right up on the Windsor Bush Road, right in the corner right there by Jane Emerson's, there was a store right there in the corner.
Hmm.
That's my mother used to take me up there. We used to get my boots there. That's why I remember that, you know. Working for Ray Sears in the Cummington Garage as getting older. And Bill Sears owned a store there in West Cummington, and I can remember we always used to laugh about. He always worried about having to go up on the price of ice cream cones.
Hmm.
And he was getting a nickel a piece back then, and he was going to have to go up, and he didn't know whether to cut the amount of ice cream down or just get a smaller cone. Hey, you know, that was just a nickel, you know?
Yeah, right.
That's how people were back then. You know, they thought about the other people rather than themselves. You know, so.
Helped to shape your own views about how to live in this town?
Well, back then people watched out, but you know more. You know, I think they took care of their neighbors. You know. Today, I noticed right here in the street now where we live, it's hard to even know your neighbors. If people move in, we're not as connected as we used to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Back then, you had more things going on. Everybody was involved with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And was it easier for that to happen, do you think?
I think it was, you know? I think people talk to each other rather than look at the cell phones. You know, you look at you watch people today, and instead of stopping and talking to saying hi to somebody, they walk by looking at the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's a good thing. I'm not sure.
But the thing is that you don't know because you don't know who they are, and even out here, which is really interesting, right? You know, where there aren't that many people. In fact, I think there's less folks in Cummington now than there were probably when you were a kid.
But you know, I'll tell you a little history about it. As I was growing up and stuff. I graduated from Smith Vocational as a mechanic. Because I worked for Ray Sears, he ran the Cummington Garage. And that was back when, I was 18, I guess. And, of course, you got to know people because you worked on their cars and stuff. And, and if you weren't working on cars, you were sweeping the roads with a power broom or were in the wintertime sawing water pipes with a welder. Now, back then, people, springs would freeze up, and you, that's a kind of a dying breed. Like, back, you used to take and hook a welder to the water line and go to run electricity through it, and actually would saw the water pipe. I was just thinking about that the other day when I was out walking and wind blowing cold and stuff. You know, I was thinking about up there the Bryant Homestead at the house, the maintenance house there. It was a New Year's Eve, I think it was. And I was up in the woods sawing the water pipes. You know, and you kind of get the people at that time, the person that was going to the New Year's party, they said, "Well, when the water comes, just don't shut it off, let it run."
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they took off to the party, and I was up in the woods with her. But that was just a way of life, you know. That's a job you had to do, and to, of course, they. Today it was plastic pipes. You couldn't do that, you know. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you were doing this in your capacity, just as a neighbor who knew how to do this sort of thing.
Well, Ray Sears had to come in the garage. That was one of our sidelines. We had the.
Oh. Okay.
We had a big welder, so.
Yeah.
That was kind of a. You know, in the wintertime, when we got down there. It was colder back then. I think maybe we just didn't have the clothes we have today.
Well, trying to picture you out in the back, up in the woods, and beyond the above the Bryant Homestead on New Year's Eve in the dark.
Oh God!
It had to be cold.
It was an interesting time, you know.
One of the other things that is sort of interesting to me about this is the, you know, there've been in your 74, 75 years here in town, you know, there've been a lot of people have probably come and gone, you know.
And
among your, you know, your group, the folks who really, you know, were born and raised here, even though I know that you weren't born here, but basically you were, but also, in that time, people have come to Cummington, and some have stayed, and some probably just have not. You know, so there.
Yeah,
there's,
we had Route 9 construction coming through in the 50s, and we had people move in, and some stayed, and some just stayed long enough for the construction to go through, We made friends, and like I say, some people stayed, and other ones moved on. But we had
here's where I want to go with that. If I could interrupt just for a sec, is there anything that you if you think about it, is there anything that people who you grew up with, who stayed here or born here, and those who came in and managed to stay, that they have in common? Is there something that helps folks to, you know, to make it here out in the hills?
Well, you know, there's about 13 of us, all young boys, all about the same age, you know. And we grew up, and we worked together, there's two things in Cummington that really kept kids and girls too. You know, we had the fire department, and we had the muster team. And then you had the riding gun, the Deer Hill Riding Gun Club. Between the muster team and the riding gun club, we kept pretty busy, you know, in summertime, and it was just a good time because it was just everybody worked together and we worked hard and it was a, you know, you got to laugh from the friendship, you know. With,
Well, I've heard similar, you know, similar thoughts from other folks in that group.
You know, people work together. You know, the same group. You know, same group of boys who built the building up the Rod and Gun Club and built down to the ball field. You got the pavilion that was built by, you know, by the town people. Just seems that people back then just, you know, it was easy to work with people.
Yeah.
You know.
One of the interesting things I've heard from some others who I've talked to about this is that kind of echoes what you were saying, was this idea that, you know, you could get everything you needed here. You didn't necessarily have to leave. You know, between the sort of basic day-to-day things and the you know, skills or knowledge or ability to fix things or build things or take care of things, that was all available.
Yep, it was.
Just within the town. So there was this kind of self-sufficiency that was present, which is different now. Would you say that that's true?
You know, I think what happened, back then, you know, a kid 12 years old could go out and work with a bunch of men and not think anything about it. And they would, today, my God, you took a 10 or 12 year old boy out and worked him like a, yeah, my God, you'd be, you just can't do that because it's against the law to work kids. And really, it really wasn't work. It was just, you just picked up a good, you know, a lot of good knowledge that you never would. We had this gentleman. He actually lived in Peru, but Chet Dodge. He was a carpenter, general contractor, and a lot of boys from Cummington all worked for this guy. Between cutting Christmas trees. Putting roofs on barns or building houses, and just the stuff that he taught us was it's a lifetime, you know.
Interesting. It's really interesting stuff. Yeah.
So it's like today you can't. I'm not saying anything bad about kids, but they got the smartphones and iPods and everything else, and it's easy to sit there and look at that stuff, but if you've got hands-on doing stuff, you really get face with you more, you know. Anybody can pick up a phone and find out how something works, but to make it work is a different story, you know.
That's true. Being able to, knowing how things work and being able to fix them is important.
Well, just getting back to Cummington is going back 2 years, and of course we lived down Beach Road, that's where my mother's place was, and I was actually in the first grade at the old schoolhouse, and that was down right across, right where the gazebo is now.
Huh.
That's where the old town union hall.
Huh.
And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting here at my dining room table and I'm looking at a poster on my fireplace mantle, and it had the cattle show dance that was held at the union house, at the union schoolhouse. That was back in 18. Well, let's see, 1874, the town band was playing. That was an old schoolhouse. Anyway, but I was in the first grade when they built a new schoolhouse. And so when we came back from our winter vacation, we went to the old one, picked up our books and everything that we belonged to us, and we walked down the sidewalk to the new school. And that was a that was kind of a lasting memory, you know.
Hmm.
Today they would have hired a company, and they, the company would have come in and moved everything for you, and you just
right. But you
but
guys,
back
yeah,
then
you
the
had,
kids took care of them.
I'm with you now. You had to go pick up all your stuff and carry it down to the new school.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was quite a, you know, I can't remember exactly what I had, but I can remember it seemed like I had an awful big armful of stuff.
Yeah. You know? I imagine that's true in second grade at that point, you know, so. Yeah.
But it seems that, you know, and that was a big thing back then. We had a beautiful school, really nice, didn't have to worry about the wood stove, wood furnace and and wood stove in the classroom. We had real heat, and then it was a fun year. We had, you know, we went through, we had 8 grades. We had actually 9 grades, but I was, by the time I got to the 8th grade, they dropped the 9th grade, but it's a, it was a fun time. And then, you know, we had the ball field down right behind us, and we had a big, grandstand back then. Well, they ripped that down years ago, but that was always a. And you know, you could play down there anytime you wanted. Now you have to make plans to do something like that.
But yeah.
It's just you know, and then in the winter time, there's always a had things going on in the nighttime in the school for kids, and Jack LaBrie and Stan Sabota, they always had working out something for us.
I remember Stan, yeah. Tell me some things you love about Cummington, even still, even though there's been a lot of change. What do you still love about the place?
You know, you still can just ride around, and, you know, people, everything's got to change sooner or later somehow, but it's a little slower here and up in the hill towns. And, you know, you can go out at night, and I don't know if you spend any time out, but you ever just look up and you don't have to worry about hearing traffic.
Amen.
You can just hear the, you know, the branches clicking together and stuff, the wind blowing, and you get down near the city, and that's all you hear, the traffic noise and the lights. And I'm not against lights, but it's pretty nice to be able to go out and look up the stars.
No kidding.
You know?
Absolutely.
Of course, a lot of people don't understand that, but it's you get out. Because I walk the dog a lot. So.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's, did you ever get out and just sit there and watch the airplanes go by? There, you have no idea how many planes are up there, you know. But it's
so the peace and quiet are important.
That's just peace. It's just nice and listen to the beepers in the spring and the crickets in the fall, you know.
Yeah, so. Well, I'm with you there. I mean, it's you know, that's high on my list, that the peacefulness, the lack of activity when everything is just quiet, even though there's a lot going on in the natural world, you know, but still it's just that's important to me too. Yeah.
But the world's going pretty fast now, but it's pretty nice to be able to sit back and let it slow down something, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. I've had a fun time myself sort of playing with this idea, which I want to run by you and just see what you think. So I've been calling them Cummington moments. And what I mean by that is it doesn't have to be a moment as in just like, you know, a few seconds of something. It can be bigger than that, but it's something that you've either observed or been part of, that really captures something that is just so true about this place, you know, sort of a defining moment, if you know what I mean. You know, if you were to, you know, if someone else was there with you as you, you know, while you were doing it, or while you were watching it happen, you know, you could look at them and say, well, that's the town I live in. This is my town. Anything like that jump out for you? I think there's a million of them actually in your memory. You've already talked about a bunch, but maybe you can pull one out now.
Well, you know, back, this town was blessed with a lot of good people. Old Roberta Cowell she gets something in her mind about doing something, and she was always able to get people to help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
is there one of those that stands out for you?
Oh, you know, then it was like the ladies there, they did when they did the organ at the church, and they rebuilt the organ. And I was actually, the gentleman that did this was Bill Schlusignac from Northampton, and the women had fundraisers and they did this and that. Of course, everybody got involved helping and stuff. And I was fortunate enough to get to know this gentleman, and I was really impressed with what he does. But he was a trained he rebuilt organs all over the country. Yeah, but he never liked flying. He used to take the train most every place. And anyways, when I met him, we got talking, and he was just not to get off the, but it was to do have something to do something for the town of Covington and be able to know this gentleman firsthand, and then all the people worked together to make this thing work, and it was really nice to you go on there now and still. It's just as nice as it was when he built it.
Oh, my gosh. We're so blessed to have that.
And it's just people don't realize what that is, you know.
Mm. But that group effort, that everybody working together for this common goal.
Roberta Cowell, she was a nice lady. She was a, and then she, I remember she had the piano done in the community house, and she had a fundraiser. She got everybody to do a show. I never would have. She even talked me into getting up on the stage.
I was going to say, were you in it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. You remember? Do you remember your part?
Oh God, there was a bunch of us. It was. I think there was. We were dancers.
I wish I had seen that.
Anybody took any pictures of us, but it was.
That's great.
I think right. Jack.
Well, that's Jack perfect, Ernie. That's a perfect Covington moment right there.
Yeah, it was
Ernie on stage dancing in a Roberta Cowell production. That's a Covington moment, all right. That's great. Hey, you know, so I want to. We're gonna kind of move into wrapping things up, I think.
Yeah.
I wanted to start the end. That doesn't make any sense. Two things, really. This is a part is about kind of looking ahead a little bit, you know, and two pieces to it. The first one, of course, is as you sort of look into the future a little bit for the town, is there anything that you're worried about that stands out for you? And then the flip side of that, kind of end on a happy note, I hope, is are there things that give you hope at this point?
Watching things grow in Covington, we had a lot of open land years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a lot of farmland, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Now we don't. We don't have the. All these farms have been sold off, and split off, and you know, we got houses where We never had houses before, and I don't know if I think we're losing our small. I hate to say it, but you're losing a small town. Just needs to keep people in town more. Having a job and working out of your house on your computer is one thing, but to be able to, to work in town, not have, 40 miles, 50 miles, because you drive 20 miles to work, you got to drive 20 miles back, so you're looking at, any way you look at it, you're looking at 50 miles a day.
I did it for many years.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to be able to have something in Covington that people didn't have to, I don't want a big business, but I just rather have something that people can make a living and not have to worry about, spending, because I spent all my life traveling too, so.
Yeah, but you also, maybe that's, you also remember when it wasn't like that too, right?
Yeah, it's just, we had the mill in Covington, right there in the center of town. They employed, sometimes they'd have a dozen people there, a dozen, depends on how busy they were. And, that's not bad right in the center of town. We had two garages there, either end.
Yeah.
Which we don't have now. And we had a bus company there, and that employed quite a few people, Lebanon's. And we don't have, we have to, we got to look at more just, and we got one store in town that's, that's about it, We got to get more people to invest in good work, good. I'm not sure how we're.
Yeah.
How we do that, but.
Yeah. Well, that's you don't have to have an answer. I just wanted to. I was just interested in what you were thinking about.
But it's just it's a nice place to live. It's not. And it's one thing that you can think about. People ought to think about it. We got a river that runs right down through the center of Covington. That's drinkable water. There's no pollution. And you don't get that very often.
Yeah, that's.
It's day and age. Something people should be really proud to have something like that,
Absolutely.
Other than the salt that the state puts on the road.
Anything bright on the horizon? Anything that you've seen recently that gives you hope that things are going to head in a good direction for the town?
Oh, I think the Covington's always going to head in the right direction, but it just might take a little longer than sometime other places. But I'm not in favor of all this marijuana stuff, farms and stuff. I don't see any. I don't see any good long term. I think it's going to cause more trouble than it's worth, But a quick money for people, that's what they like,
Well,
I would like to see some nice, clean industrial, I'm not sure exactly what that would be, but I'm sure there's something out there that can be put together,
I hope so. I hope
we need it. We need a tax base, and then I like to see some farms come back. It's hard to say. I don't think there'll ever be any real big dairy farms anymore. But it's just too bad to see all this good land go to waste. And you look back and just see how hard these people did work to make this land like it is, and just let it grow back up in the brush. It's not just.
Yeah. those fields are hard to get back. Well, there are some new farmers in town. It's a different kind of farming these days. Yeah. But some people, are seeing that value too, and trying to do their part to help that happen, because they may have a similar fear and see this similar sort of opportunity. So maybe that's a hopeful piece to hang on to.
It's a tough battle to make everybody happy, but it's not going to make everybody happy. But it's people just moving too fast sometimes, Stop and just watch the world go by once in a while,
Yeah, yeah. Go out in the dark in the dark night and walk your dog, right? And make it a point to look up and notice what's up there.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's still snowing, Ernie. And,
yes, it is. Yeah.
So I want to thank you so much for for doing this and taking some time out of your day and sharing your reminiscences, your memories, and it's it's clear that you care about the place. And
Well, it's a nice town to be in,
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. So. Have a great rest of your day, and
all right,
and wow. I'll see you around town for sure.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bye, Ernie.
Thank you, John.
Yep. And to those of you listening out there, thank you. I hope to have the next episode up soon. Please check in for another conversation about living in these hills.
There can be.